Johnny's Online Network presents From the AD's Desk with St. Bonaventure Vice President and Director of Athletics, Bob Beretta.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome in to the first episode of Bonas with Bob, with the St. Bonaventure Athletic Director, Bob Beretta. I'm Ryan Lombardi. I'm here with Bob. Bob, welcome.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for having me. I look forward to this.
No, definitely. We've been, you know, this has been a work for a few months now, and finally getting up and running. But no, looking forward to it. So, Bob, you come to St. Bonaventure in about May, I believe, June. And so how has your first, I guess, over 100 days now, how's that gone?
It is. It's been great, Ryan. It's been surreal for me to come back. The welcome that I receive from alums and faculty and our staff and our coaches has been incredible. My wife, Jen, is also a grad. We started dating here our junior year, so she's been very welcome back as well. So it's really fun. You know, it's kind of a full circle moment for us to be back after being away for a long time. We graduated in 87, and I went to West Point, worked there for 34 years, and at one point thought I'd never leave, and then had the opportunity to go to Lemoyne the last 3 years, and we were able to do some really exciting things there. And then to have this opportunity to come back home, if you will, has been unparalleled for us. So we're excited. Did just get through our 100 days and submitted our 100-day report to the president. So feel really good about that as well.
Good. I mean, just as a student on the outside looking in, the stuff you and your crew have done here has been already amazing. And just the few months we've been back, first semester's almost over. Last week of classes for us students. But what does Bonaventure Athletic like mean to you?
Yeah, you know, I think, Ryan, when I think of Bonaventure Athletics, I think of community. I talk about that all the time. I think of friendship, inclusivity, and just a lot of love, to be honest with you. And that's what Bonaventure is all about. It's such a welcoming place, and it's what I remembered. The passion that surrounds our institution in our athletic program really is unmatched. I've been blessed. I've been in three places where people really love their institution. West Point, Lemoyne College had a lot of love for its alma mater there at Lemoyne, the people that graduate from Lemoyne. And here at Bonaventure, our Bona Nation is just frenzied. You know, just the passion about the institution is unmatched, and it's unchanged since I went here. And I think a lot of that is because of the values of the institution and the people that comprise the community.
And what are those values?
You know, I think it's just really caring. It's caring about people. It's about doing the right thing. It's our Franciscan core values about, you know, treating others with respect and dignity, really the golden rule, you know, how you would like to be treated or how others would like to be treated, to really put others first and serve. I think service is a big portion of what we do on a daily basis. It's who we are here at Bonaventure. We're here to serve, and in athletics, we're here to serve our student athletes and our coaches. And our student athletes, well, it's very important to me and all of our staff that they're here to serve the community in addition to their teammates and their roommates and their floor mates. We want this to be as inclusive as possible, and that's where I remember Bonas. You know, I was a baseball player here, and I tried to be as inclusive with my floor mates as possible and tried to keep them abreast of what we were doing. And they'd come out and support. And then you see the same thing here, where whether it's a soccer match on the pitch or, you know, baseball games or certainly basketball games, where your floor mates and your roommates, they're all part of this. We're all in this together, and we want to make sure everyone feels valued and has part ownership into this.
Yeah, I really do believe that. I feel like everything you just said is so true. And I think the biggest thing with Bonas, it's family. I think the Bona family is big, and it keeps growing. And there's just something special about the culture of this place. And like, I remember just coming back from summer break and getting back on campus. It was just a different kind of feeling. And I don't think you can – I think that feeling is just so unique here with Bonas. And, I mean, you mentioned the service impact. How does that impact the community, surrounding community of like Olean and Allegheny?
Yeah, I'm really thrilled with what our student athletes have been able to accomplish this year. We instituted a new program, implemented a program. We call it Bonnie's for a Better Tomorrow. And Lexi Swan, member of our ticket office, is heading that program up. And really, it's provided some structure around our community service for our student athletes. They've served the community for many, many years. Well before I was here as a student athlete, but we really didn't have a structure around that program. We didn't track the numbers. We didn't align teams maybe with opportunities. So we're doing it in a very intentional way now. We're reaching out and finding out some areas in the community that might need some help, and then we'll try and match a team or team members with that service project. So we're here in December, and we've already completed over 2,200 hours of community service in the first semester. Our goal was 4,000 hours for the year. We expect to hit that and hopefully surpass that. But it's a small athletic program, and you only have 396 student athletes, I think was our count in August. And you know, our goal is, hey, we felt if every student athlete could complete 10 hours of community service through the course of the academic year, we felt that would be very meaningful to the community, but also meaningful in terms of their growth and their personal growth.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I guess you already touched on this, but a little bit more on like, ultimately, like, why did you decide to come back?
It was an opportunity that I would regret if I hadn't pursued it, Ryan, to be honest with you. I was involved in the AD search back in 2015, had to withdraw late in the process due to an illness in my family that we had to withdraw from. And it was very disappointing to me because the thought of coming back at that time was exciting. I'd only been at West Point since I left Bonus in 1987, and this was an opportunity to become an athletic director at my alma mater, and it was something I was really excited about. But circumstances forced us to withdraw at that time, stayed at West Point, and then left, went to Lemoyne, and worked with some fantastic people. Our president there, Linda Lemuro, just an outstanding leader. And I was blessed to be around some of the world's best leaders at West Point, 3-star generals, colonels, captains, majors, cadet athletes. It's just amazing. But then to have the opportunity to go to Lemoyne and really help that program transition to Division One was a life experience for me, and I think it was the right move for the college at that time. But then when President Gingrich called me about this opportunity in March, I thought long and hard about it. It was a tough choice being in the middle of a transition like that I was spearheading at Lemoyne, but I knew that if I didn't pursue this opportunity, I would regret it the rest of my life. And to come back home to a place that is so meaningful, that it was so profound in my transformation from a student to a student athlete to then a young professional. It transformed me academically, socially. Certainly the education that it provided me was unmatched, and I owe everything to Bonus. I owe everything that I was able to achieve in my career to St. Bonaventure. So to be able to come back now and serve our student athletes, it's very powerful to me, because when I see a soccer player or certainly a baseball player, I walked in those shoes, you know, and that's why when I talk about trying to make the experience better for all of our student athletes, it's important to me that we do that. Sometimes it's in very small ways, and sometimes it's in larger ways in some of the capital projects that we have going on here soon. But it's really important that we try to enhance that student athlete experience for everybody, because I was one of them, and I see myself out there.
Definitely. And I mean, over 100 days in, you've already done so much to help improve this program. If you could pick one moment thus far that's been like your favorite, kind of like most surreal standout moment, what would that be?
Wow, that's a great question. And, you know, I think for me, the candlelight ceremony was very powerful to me. And I've tried to immerse myself back on the culture of campus and attended the Christmas tree lighting ceremony last night. And that was super cool. Like, that didn't exist when I was here. That was really powerful. But that first candlelight ceremony in August, when we welcomed the new students back, that wasn't something that we did when I was here either. But it's been a tradition for many, many years now. And that was really moving, you know, because I kind of saw myself out there on the other side. And now I was on the stairs of Plasman looking out. And as an administrator, it moved me. And I think if I had to pick one moment here in the first 4 months that really got my emotions churning, it was that. And it's something that had nothing to do with athletics.
Yeah.
But it's because I'm a product of this place. And I envisioned my own family out there, and it brought me back. Yeah.
I love that. And then I'm also just on the topic of you doing a lot thus far. I mean, we're just walking through the Riley Center, been seeing a lot of improvements. What's kind of been going on with our, you know, our main athletic building?
Well, thanks for saying that. We're working hard. Some of it is very obvious to folks, and other things aren't so obvious. We're working on the infrastructure of our, really some things as simple as quality of life for our staff members. We're working on the infrastructure of our offices and carpet and lighting and things like that. That, hey, as much as I love the RC and I remember it, and it's it's a historical old barn here. The building needs some love, you know, and it's the building doesn't have to be from the 1960s still. So we're working on that, and we're trying to freshen up the walls, make it a little bit lighter. I'm a big believer, again, in trying to promote and celebrate all of our student athletes, not just a handful of them. So we put up a lot of photos on the walls of our teams, our current teams, and we'll change those out every year. We put up photos of our current student athlete team captains. They'll change out every year. We have some other photos coming up during the break that we'll unleash on another hallway and try to bring some energy with that. And we're talking about some really big look, big picture things. And we're looking at the Reds and the RC. You know, I love the Reds. They're historical, but they're the same Reds from when I was here, and they're the same Reds from that were originally installed in 1966. So we need to take a look at that and try to figure out how we can find a way to replace those in time. We've instituted a student athlete lounge, which I'm really excited about. Again, trying to benefit the students. We've found some locker room space. We have four teams that don't have full-time locker rooms, and they didn't have space for their non-championship segments, and we found space for them now, so they have locker rooms. And so we're doing a lot of things. We have big plans. We have big capital project plans that are going to kick off next semester. We're really excited about that. And then we have a major announcement coming hopefully next week on kind of our new vision for our athletic facilities.
I'm excited, and I'm looking forward to that announcement for sure. So just, I guess, on the topic of athletes, let's dive into the men's basketball team. I think that's been the story of Bonas the last month. I mean, they're 7-1 right now.
Yeah, they've gotten off to a great start. And, you know, Coach Schmidt, he's one of the top coaches in the country. And anyone that follows Bonas basketball has known that for the last 18 years. And anyone who's followed college basketball knows that. He can do with a team, a new group, a completely new group, and he's adapted his coaching style. This is a different style of Bonaventure basketball than many fans and followers have probably grown accustomed to watching. I mean, the defense is still the defense, and it's a ferocious defense, but you know, the up-tempo, the transition game, and coach going with a little deeper rotation, it's a fun brand of basketball, and 7-1 right now, ranked 57th in the NET early rankings, which is so important, as you know. Ranked in three of the national mid-major polls this week. So we're starting to gain people's attention. I think that the non-conference has really provided an opportunity for Coach to learn his team, learn his skill sets and who he can go to in what situations. And it's been fun to watch. It's been fun to watch this team evolve. It will continue to evolve throughout the next several weeks and going into the Atlantic 10 season here. And we start on New Year's Eve. And, you know, I'm really encouraged by what we've seen so far, and this could be a special season.
I really think it could be. I mean, everybody had question marks going in. It's a brand new team. Some of these guys haven't played Division I basketball, and I got to be honest, like, I wasn't entirely sure going in, but, I mean, it's Coach Schmidt. You can't doubt the guy. The guy always finds a way, and this team's looking good. I mean, they started out 6-0. They go down to Orlando, Florida, play in the ESPN NIT tip-off event, and they play a really, really tough Utah State game. Yeah. I don't know if you want to talk about that game a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's a game that I think really caught people's attention, because while we were undefeated in the non-conference, there were the naysayers that threw shade on our non-conference schedule. And then we went up against the Utah State team that's ranked 14th in the NET. And that game was ours for the taking. You know, we were disappointed we didn't come away with a victory. We were up late in that contest and couldn't hold the lead, but it prepared us well for the next night out against Northern Iowa. And I knew that we felt like we owed Northern Iowa a little payback from the last couple of times we played them. And I thought that was a really convincing victory. I thought, you know, Northern Iowa made some runs, and we were able to sustain those runs and fend off those runs and sustain our lead. And that was a quality victory down there in Kissimmee.
Yeah. And I mean, just that, I mean, that Utah State game, I mean, they were in it for pretty much the entire game. They had a lead at halftime and then just kind of fell behind. But even to the last buzzer, the team was still fighting. I can't find it, but something to note that Utah State did receive votes in the AP top 25 poll yesterday that came out. So definitely a very good team, and to lose to them, you can't be too upset. But let's just highlight some of the top players who have really been playing well. I mean, you look at a guy like Chance Moore, the transfer from Mississippi State. He's kind of come alive for Bonaventure.
Yeah, you know, Chance began his career at Arkansas. He was a four-star recruit, and he's shown why. He's multi-talented. He's so athletic, fun to watch, can just soar over the rim. When he gets the ball in a breakaway situation in transition, he's just a blur. And he's been able to shoot and convert from the outside, which has been a plus. You know, he's hit some perimeter shots. He's knocked down some threes, hit some threes over the weekend down in Florida that really kind of set the tone. And Chance is someone that we're going to expect big things from as the season continues.
And it's kind of crazy because he didn't start every game with Missouri State. He only started 20 of 31 games, but he still averaged double figures. So I think he's another player going to come conference play. He's really going to come alive. Another guy to highlight, DeSante Bowen.
Yeah.
He's been playing really well. Jonah Hinton has started to really shoot the ball well, and we know why he played so well at the JUCO level. And then just LeJay Jones and Melvin Council, the other two starters, they can really just shoot the ball from anywhere. And I think Melvin's just such a good vocal leader, as well, just like a good person to have on the team on and off the court.
Well, you know, Melvin's an alpha dog, and I spent the last couple of years watching, or certainly last year watching, Melvin against my team at Lemoyne. You know, he played us last year when he was at Wagner, and we couldn't stop him. He just can find a way to score at the rim. He's got that gift of scoring, getting to the rim and scoring there. And I think he's added to his repertoire. His outside shooting has been much improved. And he's become a three-point threat as well. He's had some good looks. He's just a great decision maker. He'll get moving pretty quickly in transition. Sometimes he might be moving a little too fast, but he is. I don't think I've ever seen anybody faster with a basketball in his hands on a fast break. I mean, he's just incredible. And he's our alpha dog. You know, we have some guys that aren't so verbal, and we have some guys that are verbal, and no one's more verbal out there than Melvin. He really sets the tone. And you mentioned DeSante. I've been so impressed with how DeSante has really evolved over the course of the season so far in the month of November. He's improved. He's become a scoring threat. He's the guy that's leading the offense. He's our play caller out there, and he's absorbed a lot of minutes and distributes well, can get to the rim, can score there, or he can kick it out for an open three, and he's been phenomenal. I have been so impressed with DeSante's play, and of course, Noel has really stepped up, you know, his game on the inside, taking on a much greater role than he has in the past, and he's such a physical player. He's such a physical specimen, and he gives us that physicality in the paint that is going to cause problems in the A-10.
Yeah, definitely. He looks scary on the court, but when you actually talk to the guy, he might be one of the nicest guys in the world.
You have a gentle giant?
Yeah.
Noel Brown is a gentle giant, at least off the court. Now, on the court might be a different story, but off the court, Noel, and, you know, he was really involved in the community here this summer, interned with the Olean Oilers, the baseball team, and, you know, he just made a lot of friends, and he's someone who represents, as do all of our young men on the basketball team, but Noel is someone who represents this institution so well anytime he has an opportunity to interact with our fans and followers and people out in the public in the community.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, just on the note, Noel, I think, obviously, Dwayne Thompson, Miles Rose, they were both on team last year. Really didn't see the floor too much, but Noel Brown was the only player to come back who actually saw valuable minutes. And what better guy than him? I mean, he's one of the captains for a reason. He's just such a good leader out there, just really good dude overall.
Yeah, he is, right. And, you know, he works hard. Yeah, I've spent a lot of late nights in the office here over the first several months that I've been here, and there's been times that I hear the ball bouncing out there at midnight. I go out there, and it's Noel. And he's working on his inside post game, or he's working on his free throw shooting.
Yeah.
So, and every now and then he'll sneak a 3-pointer. I see him out there on the perimeter, and then I mention something to him the next day, and he's working on that aspect of his game as well. But he's always working.
I love that. Just something quick to note: looking ahead at this, the point of this release, they would already have played Bucknell, but then Buffalo on Saturday at home, going to be a good one. A little three rival.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun, and we hope we'll have an outstanding crowd. Should be a lot of energy. I think it's our last home game before the students leave, with finals beginning on Monday. So I'm hoping that they come out Saturday and support and full-throated, It's as you mentioned, it's a rivalry game for us. It wasn't when I attended St. Bonaventure. UB was, I think they were D3 at that time. Wow. But it's a rivalry game now, and hopefully we'll go into that riding an awful lot of momentum and give our fans a lot to scream and be excited about heading into the finals break for our students here on campus.
And then a big one, Power 5 matchup, Providence, yeah. The Big East. We will take them on at Mohegan Sun Arena in Connecticut. So another big one. So a lot to look forward to for the men's team. But on the other side of things, the women's team, looking to bounce back. Obviously, it's Crowley's first recruiting class that we get to see. And, I mean, let's talk about those six freshmen who've all seen valuable minutes in their time so thus far at Bonaventure.
Yeah, Ryan, you know, they're a young team. And I was talking to Coach yesterday about this. And we'll have three freshmen on the court at any point in time. And the opponents that we're playing and that we have played have been much more veteran. And so we have to understand that this is a process. We've seen what Coach Crowley can do. We've seen how he can turn a program. And we know that he will. It's just going to take some time. It's going to take some time as he continues to compile recruits and talent to add to what we have. But we are leaning heavily right now on first-year players. And, you know, the best thing about freshmen is they become sophomores, right? We've heard that before, and that's a cliche, but it's so true. And there's going to be growing pains throughout the season. There's going to be stretches where we look really, really good, and there's going to be stretches where we're going to look like we have a lot of young youth out on the floor. We just have to be patient, and we know that we have one of the top coaches in the country leading this transition, and I'm confident that on the other end, we'll be a contender for an A-10 championship before long.
Definitely, and they already inked four athletes for the 2025 recruiting class, so even more players than obviously with the transfer portal and NIL. It will definitely help to improve this team. But I think this year they have a team around them. I mean, you look at some of the individual play thus far. It's Annie Haskell. She's averaging double figures, 14.1 points per game. Isabel Middleton kind of has had a slow start, but I think she's a player that's really going to get going, especially coming 10 play. We saw it last year with her. She's averaging 10.1 points per game. So with those two redshirt seniors, I feel very confident in this team to kind of turn things around.
Yeah, you know, there's no better three-point shooter in the conference than Danny Haskell. From a catch-and-shoot standpoint, she's deadly. And we went up to Canisius a couple weeks ago, and a place where she began her career, and she dropped 29 on her former team. That was fun to watch. And when she gets going, she's tough to stop. But you mentioned we have some couple of veterans there, and then we have some younger players that are getting some minutes. You know, Caitlin Frost just got healthy and came back. She's going to be a major contributor to our program. Mac Pettinelli, a freshman who I've been really impressed with her all around game. And then we have some other younger kids. Zoe Shaw in the backcourt. She's shown that she's going to make an impact.
And she's been the main ball handler for the most part thus far.
And a great defender.
Of course.
She has been a shutdown defender against some premium scoring threats so far early in the season. And that's going to continue. And she's only going to get better with more repetitions and more experience.
Macy Smith, another player to know, definitely a dangerous shooter. I think she's got to get a little more confidence out there. And she'll start pulling some more threes, get some more minutes. Definitely will be good for her.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is going to be an evolution, and I think that we'll be competitive in the A-10. It's a quality conference on the women's side. It's a really talented group, but we'll see some fight in this team, and we'll win some games, and we know that we're building for the future in Jim Crowley. I feel so confident that Jim Crowley is leading that program that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we turn that around.
Yeah, I think definitely look out for Bonnie's women's basketball in the coming years. Moving on past that, we had our swim and dive team. They competed in the Magnus Cup. So we'll highlight some things that happened there. The women's team, they placed 7th overall at the Magnus Cup. And notably, they finished ahead of the Little Three rivals, Niagara and Canisius. So Still winning in that category.
Yeah, Niagara's really talented. Niagara's really good. They defeated us here in a dual meet earlier in the year. And so for us to go out to Cleveland and finish ahead of them, I know Coach Smychowski was really excited about that and feels like we have a young group that's going to continue to improve as the year goes on and score a bunch of points for us. So we're excited about that. And the men's team finished 2nd
yep.
at the Magnus Cup. And it's kind of where we thought they would finish. The women may be a little higher than where we thought they would finish, but the men have gotten off to a really strong start, and we expect that the men will be in competition for the A-10 championship. We really believe that's going to be the case when we get to that conference meet in later in the season.
Yeah, definitely. Just a strong showing for both teams. I think they set some records too. I'm trying to remember, but I can't see. But I know they set some program records as well as some meet records. So definitely really good. So taking a step back from Bonaventure Athletics and kind of focusing on athletics as a whole in the NCAA, some crazy things happening over the last 2 years with NIL. And all the recruiting stuff. So as you, for being an athletic director, how has that kind of impacted how you run your staff and kind of treat recruiting?
You know, it's been a turbulent time, and it's going to continue to be a turbulent time, unmatched probably in the history of collegiate sports, the change, the pace of change that we've seen, Ryan, in the past 2 years. And it's going to continue to be very unsettled, I would think, over the next several years as we try to find our new way. And I'm excited. I'm excited because I think as administrators, our current group of leaders in this enterprise, myself included as an athletic director at the Division I level, we have a chance and a voice and a way to maybe create a new future. And I am supportive of NIL. I am supportive of student-athletes having the opportunity to benefit from their name, image, and likeness. And I think when done right, NIL is an incredible, incredibly valuable tool for young people. It instills life skills that they wouldn't otherwise have access to when they graduate, in terms of building that personal brand, in terms of dealing with finances now that they're receiving in some cases, and in terms of networking and contacts, and knowing that a great relationship could lead to, a business deal down the road. So for all those reasons, and just the fact that they deserve to share in the benefits of their name, image, and likeness, I'm very supportive when done right. What I'm disappointed as an industry, and I'm part of the industry, we failed in a way for the last 20 years in establishing, in adapting with times, and establishing guardrails. So what you see right now isn't what it's going to look like down the road in terms of NIL. I think in many cases it's pay for play, and it's exactly what it's not meant to be. It's not that way here at St. Bonaventure with our collective Team Unfurl. We're very conscious of making sure that our student athletes are involved in the community and serving in a way that we feel is fair market value in terms of what they receive and then what they give back. But that's not the case everywhere. And I think that as an industry, we're going to continue to smooth out the edges, and now with what's happening with the House settlement, the terms, we'll see a completely new system in place, and we're going to have to adapt. It's like Coach Schmidt has said it many times, and I've said it before I arrived here. You have to adapt or you're going to die, and you don't have to love it, but you better embrace it, and we are embracing it, and we'll find a way to thrive, and we'll do it in a way that's consistent with the values of this institution.
Yeah, definitely. And I like that saying of like, it's adapt or die in the NIL. I think as for college athletics as a whole, I think some of the bigger schools have started to dominate in college athletics, which obviously we know they're Power Five schools for a reason. They're the best of the best. But like even just in the NCAA tournament last year, when you go to the Sweet 16 and you have, I think it was one non-Power Five school or Power Six school in the NCAA tournament left standing, it just kind of shows that the NIL kind of dominates a little bit.
Well, it does. You know, and resources are important to success, but resources don't always equate to success. And I think that's, for us, we have people ask me all the time, how are you going to compete with the Power Fives? And hey, we're going to be the best St. Bonaventure we can be, and we're not always going to be in competition with the Power Fives. But when we compete against the Power Fives, we feel like we can hold our own, you know, and we can do that because we have our own assets. You know, I've talked about this all the time. One of our differentiators, we talked about it earlier on this podcast, is to me, it's the culture. It's who we are. It's the passion. It's the passion of our fan base. It's the passion of our alums. And we need to bottle that. And we're able to find ways now that help differentiate ourselves from our competitors. And I believe that that energy, that passion, that willingness to serve, that willingness to assist now and help our team unfurl, our third-party collective that is so active and so critically important to our success in the future, all of that will help differentiate and allow us to thrive in this new environment.
Let's talk about Team Unfurl a little bit, because you mentioned it before. For those who don't know, Team Unfurl, like pretty much is the St. Bonaventure men's basketball, like NIL collective. And so if you want to dive in a little bit of what their mission is and that kind of thing.
Yeah, Ryan, you know, with the NCAA kind of loosening up its regulations and allowing athletic departments that play a larger role in the NIL space in interacting with collectives, we've done that. And we've been trying to become more integrated with Team Unfurl. It's a group of a board led by four or five just selfless alums that have put this together, volunteer all their time, take no cut of the money that comes in donation-wise, and then they're aligning our student-athletes with matches in the community, and then they're directing how that the NIL compensation is directed. And it's through the passion, again, of these several alums. And Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, was a board member. Now he's our basketball general manager. And Woj works very closely with the Team Unfurl leadership now to make sure that our student-athletes are performing in the community in a way that makes sense for us. But Team Unfurl is critically important. Our collective, right now, you mentioned it earlier, the Power Fours that might have 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 million dollars that they can distribute to their student athletes, we're not going to be at that level, but we can be at a level that makes us very competitive and compete for an Atlantic 10 Conference championship. And once we get into the dance, we know what can happen. We can shock a lot of people, and that's our intent. But in order to be successful, again, I don't think a lot of resources guarantee success. You can look around at college football right now, and there's some schools with large NILs that are struggling. It doesn't equate to success, but it gives you the chance to be successful, and then you have to make smart investments. And that's who we are here. We know that we're never going to have the same resources as many other of our colleagues in the A-10, but we have to be really smart with our resources, use them as efficiently as possible, maximize every asset that we have, and leverage them to the degree that allows us to be successful.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I mean, if you look at this year's team, we don't have the best of the best players, but these guys, there's something special about them when they're on the court together. It just seems like they really, really do enjoy playing together, and just being a fan at the games, there's just a presence, and I feel like it feels different. It feels special.
You know, Ryan, I've always said this, and it doesn't matter if it's baseball or volleyball or soccer, you know, the best players don't win games. Best teams win games, and it's finding that blend. It's finding that that group of selfless individuals that are willing to invest every fiber of their body into the success of the team. So it's teams that win, not individuals, and we feel like we have a really good team.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely. So that will about do it for our first episode with Bonas with Bob. So for Ryan Labarde, Bob Beretta, signing off. We'll see you guys next time right here on Bonas with Bob.